Hello and welcome to the programme. You can visit the website anytime you like, rte.ie/Mooney. Have you noticed the birds singing lately? Every morning, nature's choir welcomes the day. Next weekend, Mooney Goes Wild, RTE Radio 1 and RTE Lyric FM invite you to tune in. Take a deep breath. And let the birds sing you into the day.
I really love The Lark Ascending by Ray Vaughan Williams, the way it captures the grace and freedom of a lark with those beautiful soaring violin melodies is just mesmerising.
The Dawn Chorus Live, from Ireland to the world, in the early hours of Sunday, May 4th on RTE Radio 1 and RTE Lyric FM. Just listen to that cuckoo there, that wonderful sound in amongst the myriad of birds singing there. That was sent was by Marie White. It was recorded by her sister Therese, who lives in County Waterford, and it was recorded on Friday afternoon last. Remember, we want to hear your bird singing where you live during the Dawn Chorus. So if you keep an eye on our website on Saturday into Sunday morning, all the details will be there about how you can contact us during the broadcast. So once again, the Dawn Chorus Live, Saturday from midnight through to 7 a.m. on Sunday morning next, from Kuskany Marsh Nature Reserve in Cove in County Cork. Everybody's welcome. Now in studio with me, Niall Hatch and Éineann Ilana, and from his home in Malahide, Dr. Richard Collins. Richard, a penny for your thoughts.
Yes, indeed, Derek. In the Dawn Chorus, one hears the throb of life itself, said Rachel Carson back in 1956, and she went on to write Silent Spring, a book which was to inspire the global environmental movement. Now, Silent Spring is a reference to birds, not necessarily at dawn, but they're at their best at dawn, so it's silent and it's spring. What a silent spring would be appalling. Imagine getting up and absolute silence. Wouldn't that just be awful? She got that, of course, from Keats, who said that the sedge is withered from the lake and no birds sing. And she had this vision of what it would be like if the pesticides that were pouring into the environment back then killed all the birds. And that was what she was afraid of. Thankfully, we still have the Dawn Chorus, and it's thriving. Maybe not quite as well as it did some years ago. I remember better ones a few years ago, but we still have it, Dirk.
Better ones where, Richard? I think it's still the same as it always has been. When I open my window in the morning, in fact, it couldn't be any louder at the moment.
Well, it's not just loudness, it's diversity. There's a term for it. Acoustic biomonitoring is a fancy term they have now. That is for listening to a chorus or anything like that and picking out all the various elements of it. The loudness is just one thing. They're all shouting, remember. This is regime change in the birds. All these birds are going out there to grab land and to get the best partners. And this is what's happening. It's a time of great stress for them. But the bioacoustic man will listen in and hear who's missing, who's not there, who was there last year and the last few years, and anyone new has come in. So it's the renaissance among the birds. It's the revival.
Yes.
Babies, when they're born, cry out. And in spring, the birds start to cry out. Nature is reawakening. And there's the Klondike Gold Rush begins among the birds. There are winners and losers. Get in there, grab your patch, and grab the best mate you can. And that's the name of the game. It's dynamic.
Richard, you were quoting there La Belle Dame sans merci. This is why I linger here alone and palely loitering, though the sedge is withered from the lake and no birds sing. But he was waiting for a woman. Well, he wasn't waiting for birds, actually, to be fair. But there you go. Hopefully, I won't be lingering alone and palely loitering, because I shall be down in Dingle in County Kerry, which will be probably the last place on Europe where the sun will rise. We will have the last and latest dawn chorus. So hopefully it will be the finest and the best. So I'm really waiting to see what will happen down there.
I think that when it comes to the dawn chorus, I think the poetry is great, but I think that the birds say it best themselves. And I think that's what I like most about the dawn chorus. It's something that's been going on long before we humans were ever on the scene. It's the sound, as we say every year, of the earth rotating on its axis. And so maybe down in Kerry, that's the last of the dawn chorus for the morning. But of course, it doesn't stop. It continues right around the globe, all over the Northern Hemisphere at this time of year, and will return by the following dawn back to Ireland again. It just keeps on going in a big unbroken wave. So after we finish with it, it goes across to Iceland. It goes across to North America. It goes all the way across, then across all of Asia and right back across Europe to us again. I think that's absolutely wonderful. I love the dawn chorus, as I know you do, Derek. It's most exciting time of the year for us. And the big live broadcast that we do, it's just wonderful. The adrenaline, I think, is what I get. You know, like it's real sense of, I suppose, an occasion when we do it. And because Mooney Goes Wild has been doing it for so many years now, I actually think that there's quite an important data set that's built up there, because the dawn chorus does subtly change from year to year. And I think an analysis of the recordings back from the very early years of it up until now will show subtle differences in the composition. So the dawn chorus itself may still be just as loud as before, but we have lost species, we have gained species. So a bird like the great spotted woodpecker, which we can now reasonably expect to hear in the dawn chorus, maybe even live on the radio there next week. I think that, you know, at the start, when this programme first began, that would have seemed like absolute fantasy that we'd never hear that bird. And yet we've lost other birds from Ireland in recent decades. A bird like the corn bunting, for example, would once have been the sound of the dawn chorus across so much of Ireland. The curlew, another great example. The corn bunting now completely gone, the curlew very much depleted. And there are ones that 100 years ago, people in Ireland would have taken those for granted. That was the sound of the dawn chorus. There may well have been fewer blackbirds and song thrushes there, these generalist species that are better able to cope with the changes that we humans wreak on the environment. But one of the things I think it's important for a good dawn chorus too, and this is why I think Cuscany Marsh down in Cork, the Bird of Tarn Reserve there, is such a good spot. It's because there are so many different habitats in a short space. And that's what you want. If you want to go out and experience a good dawn chorus, you want to be in an area that has as many habitats close to each other as you can. So you have woodland, you have open fields, you have marshland, reed beds, and you have the Cork Harbour there as well. That's what makes it so good.
But hang on, don't take away from Jim Wilson, because we're going to talk to Jim right now. And Jim can fill us in and give us a look ahead from his perspective, because Jim will be with you at Cuscany Marsh Nature Reserve and Cove. And that's where he is now. Jim!
Yes, Derek, it is incredible. We've gone around the sun once since we last listened to the dawn chorus live from Cuscany Marsh Nature Reserve. Incredible.
And news of Cuscany Marsh Nature Reserve this year, Jim, because officially it belongs to Birdwatch Ireland. Explain.
Absolutely, Derek. We've been very excited and thrilled to find out that when Wanda Ronan died in her will, she wanted to bequeath the Nature Reserve to Birdwatch Ireland. And all the paperwork has gone through. The family have been really incredible, very, very nice, very cooperative. And we are so excited that after 30 years of being in a management agreement with the Ronan family, Birdwatch Ireland now owns the lake and that end of the reserve. The other end, which has belonged to the Bird family, is still in management and everything going really well. We're over the moon and delighted that it is secure forevermore as a place and amenity for the people of Cove and beyond.
That's incredibly generous of the family, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, they've always had an interest. When John was alive, same thing. That's when we approached them about a management agreement. So they retained ownership. But because they loved the place and they love nature, they said, look, why not let Birdwatch Ireland use it as a means of spreading the good word about Irish wildlife? And that's what we did. And after 30 years, as I say, they were so generous, and Wanda Ronan and John were so genuinely keen in everything we did down there and were so supportive.
All right. So just remind our listeners why Cuscany Marsh Nature Reserve is the perfect place to broadcast the Dawn Chorus on radio from.
Well, I think, Derek, when you came to me first with the idea of broadcasting nationally the Dawn Chorus, you said, like, would you have any ideas of places where we could get a good Dawn Chorus? I was thinking, and I was thinking of as objectively as I could with all the list of things we had to have in place, like power, a signal, getting in there easily, you know, all that sort of thing, not too remote. And I came around to thinking that right on my doorstep, we have Kuskany Marsh. And what was really good about it was easy to get at, there was a good signal, and then you had this lovely miniature version of the Irish landscape right there with all the main habitat types within microphone distance of our broadcast unit. You had seashore, you had the lagoon, or your lake as some people call it, you had coniferous woodland, deciduous woodland, wet woodland, you had farmland as well, and all of those we could key into, and we could listen as the dawn broke over the reserve and send out what anybody in Ireland could have gone outside their back door into their garden or local park or down by the nearest lake or river, and they would actually be able to hear for themselves a lot of the birds we were broadcasting and talking about.
Jim, thank you very much indeed for that. So we'll be on air from midnight to 7 a.m. We say this every year. Which will be the first bird to sing? Any ideas?
Oh, well, we've had so many firsts. Usually of the regulars in the chorus, the blackbird can be in there at the very start. You might get the odd pheasant chiming in with its little croak. You might get during the night some of the warblers. We've had sedge warbler. We've even had reed warbler during the night, and even otters at one stage. While they're not birds, they definitely added something to that dawn chorus. So really, I would go for probably the blackbird as the real beginner.
The birds with the big eyes get the light first, don't
yes,
they?
Yes,
the
surely
early bird
do.
Catches the worm, and I suppose the weather will be what the weather will be, Jim.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, we've had sort of fairly damp and wet and cold, and yet it was always good. And that's what I love about it. You know, some people might be saying, would you not go somewhere else or move it around and
no.
do that? No. I mean, we do broadcast from other parts of the country, so you get flavours of habitats that we don't have access to down here, very specialised ones. But the thing is, that's the beauty of nature, is that it's never the same. Any 2 days you go out, there's something slightly different or something very different. And it has been the same with the Dawn Chorus. We've been surprised by birds that didn't really sing much, and then surprised by birds we didn't expect to have at all. Like one year we had whimbrel coming over. We've had them a few times. They're like a little curlew, like a smaller curlew, and they're coming from West Africa and going to Iceland to breed, and there they'd be calling as they're migrating north over us while we're broadcasting the Dawn Chorus, and kind of dropping in on it, okay, heading from Iceland, and they give their little call and on they go, and that's just magical, absolutely magical.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, Jim. Thank you very much indeed. We'll catch up with you on Sunday, the 4th of May. And don't forget that special documentary about 30 years of Mooney Goes Wild on Radio 1, which will be broadcast on the 5th from 3 p.m. But the Dawn Chorus, make a date next Sunday from midnight, you know, on the Saturday through to 7 a.m. And we do wish you to be part of it. We'll be giving out a special number for you to send in your voice recordings of the birds' voices singing where you live. We'll keep you updated. In the meantime, Jim, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, Derek.
You wanted to say something there, Niall?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to being with Jim Wilson down at Bertertrans Kuskany Marsh Nature Reserve there near Cove in Cork. No better man. He knows the birds are there like nobody else.
He certainly does. I know it's going to be interesting to hear what you hear, Aina, in Dingle.
Well, it certainly is in Dangany Coote. I wonder, will they be singing in Irish? It'd be a Fíor Gaeltacht, do you understand?
Well, Jim used to say, he's gone now, but he used to say that the birds in different parts of the country sounded different. Would you agree with that, Richard?
They had a dialect.
I would, actually. Well, it depends on the bird. Certainly wrens are very variable in how they are. I remember going to Laurel Woods and hearing a strange call, and I spent ages trying to track it down, and it turned out to be a chaffinch, just like the ones I had at home, but the call was totally different. They have dialects. A man named Thorpe investigated that back in the 1950s, did some excellent work on this, and showed that, like ourselves, they have dialects and local languages that words from outside don't speak, and that's why we have mimicry and things like that. Birds learn to mimic, to ingratiate themselves into the society. They have to learn to mimic the local tang, and they do it very well, most of them.
I think the key word there is learning, Richard, because there's two different ways that that birds sing their songs. So most of the stars of the Dawn Chorus, the songbirds, the passerines, they learn their songs from listening to their parents, in most cases their father, because it's in most species, in Ireland at least, it's just the male that sings. And they're learning that, and that's the same all across Europe and other parts of the world. And then, of course, as things bird things are being learned, what happens is mistakes creep in and innovation happens and so on. So when learning happens, that's where innovation happens. And that's how changes happen, that's how dialects happen, that's how things diverge. You have another group of birds, the non-passerines, who don't learn their songs, they have them genetically coded. Classic example of that would be the cuckoo, a species that never even meets its real parents, and somehow still knows how to sing that cuckoo song. The wood pigeon, the members of the pigeon family, that's another example. And the thing is, those birds may have enormous ranges, in the case of those species, across big swathes of Europe and Asia as well, and yet the song across that whole range is pretty much identical, because there's no learning involved. So there's no scope there for innovation, for learning, for changes. The only time change can happen is if there's a genetic mutation which leads to evolution, and that's a much longer, more drawn-out process. So that's really the difference between some birds having dialects and some not having them. So the chaffinch would be a perfect example. Some of those chaffinches got isolated on islands in the Atlantic, isolated for a long time. For the others, they forget what they sound like, the same way human language develops and diverges. I find that really quite remarkable.
Well, I'll let you know what I hear in Dangany Cooch and whether they're asking.
We'll find out on the night. Anyway, so from midnight on next Saturday through to 7 a.m. in the morning, tune into RTE Radio 1, RTE Lyric FM, or the RTE Radio app. And as you heard me say to Jim there, we do want to hear your birds wherever you happen to be. Let's say hello now to Terry Flanagan. Terry, where will you be on the night?
I'll be with Eric Dempsey and Declan Murphy, and we'll be somewhere in County Wicklow, the Garden County of Ireland. And we'll be hoping to catch up with some great spotted woodpeckers.
Didn't you make a documentary for us about the great spotted woodpecker some time ago?
Yeah, I was just trying to think back when. I think it was about 3 years ago. Doesn't time fly?
Absolutely. We'll make sure we put a link to that on tonight's website.